The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at an historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laugh as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Ridiculous History is a production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome back to the show, Ridiculous Historians. Thank you, as always, so much for tuning in. That's our man, the myth, the legend, the one and only super producer, Mr. Max Williams.
Hoorah.
Hoorah, hooray, Otowski.
Oh, it's hoorah.
It. No, you got it. You got it. They call me Ben Bolin for various reasons. That's the one and only Mr. Noel Brown. Noel, how's it going?
Ben, I got a question. Have you been Bolin before?
I have never. Do you want me to give you like the kind answer? Or what?
Yeah. Sure.
Okay. Yes, I have. It is the opposite of nominative determinism in my case, Noel. If you are listening to this, if you are ever in the same town as me and you need a little bit of an ego boost, you feel like you need a win, go bowling with me because you will be victorious. I am terrible.
You're like the opposite of a ringer.
I am whatever the opposite of a ringer is. Yes.
A saboteur, perhaps. Yeah.
We have some real ringers today, right? Because we were able to hang out with the luminaries at one of our peer podcasts, the amazing folks, Elizabeth Dutton, Zarin Burnett, and super producer KG Dave at Ridiculous Crime.
It's true. And we did something of a new thing for us. We've done, you know, our head-to-heads with our nemesis, the Quizster. We've done some quiz-related stuff with our buddy AJ Jacobs, the Puzzler, but never quite fully a game show scenario. This is a little bit new for Ridiculous History.
Mm-hmm. And credit where due, our pals over at Ridiculous Crime said, well, let's not just play historical flexes. Let's make it an actual, like you were saying, make it an actual game. And it's a game that we think is going to continue. So what you're going to hear today, folks, is you're going to hear Noel and Max and Elizabeth and Zarin and Dave and yours truly playing a game called 20 Questions. Questions.
Which is, you know, I was familiar with the concept, but had never dipped my toe into the 20 questions pool before. And let me tell you, there's some refreshing waters in that pool. I really enjoyed the game very much and look forward to doing it again. But why don't we get right to it?
Without further ado.
Zarin, Elizabeth, Ben, Noel, Max, do you know what's ridiculous? Six hosts, Six hosts in a tiny little box.
It's gonna be some crosstalk, y'all. It's gonna be some crosstalk. We're doing our best.
Wait, no. Are we crosstalking?
No, just barely. Barely.
No, we're not crosstalking at all?
Are you being serious?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, it's a conversation, and it's a conversation, Noel, Max, that we might be interrupting. I believe producer Dave is setting up a thing.
It's true. Carry on, sir.
Dave, are you setting up a thing?
Oh, sorry. Are you guys done?
It's back to you, producer Dave. Hit it.
And let's do what we keep talking. I keep talking over you.
I'm going to tell you what is ridiculous. Six hosts in a tiny little box going toe-to-toe in an attempt to determine which show reigns supreme. This is not Ridiculous Crime. It still may be a podcast about absurd and outrageous capers, heists, and cons. We'll just have to see. This is also not Ridiculous History. Welcome, everyone. What we have here is something extra special. As the presence of all these voices will attest, this is a little something we cooked up called 20 Ridiculous Questions. It's kind of, I don't know, Ben, if you'll allow me, it's the ridiculous beast with two backs.
Oh,
the history back and the crime back.
Ew.
I don't know how that was
secret third thing.
Yeah, some sort of hybrid of all that. That's also somehow really sticky.
Before I continue, let's do introductions. So from Team Ridiculous History, we have Ben Bolin, Noel Brown, and Max Williams. Welcome one and all.
Hello. Thank you.
How are we all doing today? Anyone want to give any speeches? Hurrah. Any last words?
I'm a big fan of Ridiculous Crime and want to shout out that show in particular, which may be somewhat redundant, but I'm not backing down from it. I yield my time. Big fan.
All right. And from Team Ridiculous Crime, we have Zarin Burnett, Elizabeth Dutton,
woo!
And me, KG, hey! Dave Kustin.
Hey! Oh, hello.
What's the KG, Dave?
Oh, that's what Kyle Gass from Tenacious D. He always says, mm-hmm. Me, KG.
It's me, KG. I'm sucking up on them toes.
That's right. You got it.
Yes.
Doing some C push-ups.
Your boyfriend is sucks toes.
Finally, here's the 2024.
Now, friends, as far as the game. The game, friends, is Pistols at Dawn. Well, Ben wanted Pistols at Dawn. Zarin wanted Calculating Pi to the Most Decimal Places.
That's right.
No, I think you wanted Baccarat. I don't even know what that is.
I don't either. How about Mancala? You guys know how to play Mancala? That's the one with the marbles.
Oh, I love that one.
Yeah, let's do it.
I used to play Strip Mancala.
I don't. It's one of those games where I don't fully understand the rules. I just kind of somehow I'm accidentally good at it.
Yeah, right?
Strip Mancala, nice. Zarin. I knew that was you, man.
Yeah, right. You've seen the videos.
Been a while.
Yeah. So, out of all these wonderful suggestions, we decided on the game of 20 questions. More specifically. This is going to be a game of 20 questions about historical flexes. Now, keep me honest here. A historical flex is when someone makes like a zag instead of a zig, some kind of a bold move, something that wasn't required in their position, and that maybe it brought on consequences. Is that accurate?
Or perhaps an absurdly ostentatious display of disgusting wealth, you know?
Yeah,
that'll work.
For instance, like when you are so wealthy that you go on a road trip and you break the economy of countries while you're traveling, right?
Mm-hmm. Mansa Musa style, yes.
Yes, sir. Yeah. See, Cloud Atlas moments.
We've actually done this, a different version of this with Miles and Jack from the Daily Zeitgeist. And Jack brought, I think, one of my favorite historical flexes, which is the little known fact that Charles Darwin ate every animal that he studied.
Yes.
And documented.
Mm-hmm. Good one.
Wow. Holy
dedication. Yeah.
That's disgusting.
Yeah. A flex may be not necessarily imbued with some kind of absolute moral right or wrong, right?
It's like showing off, too. Any
just kind of being the most, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Got it.
Also, another fun note about Charles Darwin is when he discovered the Galapagos tortoise, he looked at it and said, I'm going to try to ride one. He has extensive writings about trying to ride one. He's a weird guy.
I'm going to ride it, then I'm going to eat it.
Yeah.
Darwin, also a Bigfoot fetish guy, little known.
Oh. Luke Quentin Tarantino of his day. Yeah.
Indeed.
Good God.
Real maverick.
Anyone here a big 20 questions player anyway? Like got some 20 question skills built up?
Yeah, I play it on my phone against friends, yes.
I only vaguely understand the concept. I've never participated, so I'm looking forward to hopefully getting to see you guys do it right before I screw it up.
Most of my friends, present company excluded, are incredibly sketchy, so every conversation is a bit like 20 questions.
Well, as far as where the game comes from, there's some dispute as to where it originated, but the oldest reference seems to be in 1822, which was when a Scottish teacher named William Fordyce Mavor, who knows, who cares, offered it up as a way to pass the time before TV and electricity and readily available recreational drugs. So
was Fordyce like a street name because he carried around four dice in his pocket all the time?
It was like his ancestor's street name. Yeah. And it got normalized into a middle name.
Just a name. Yeah, okay. Fair enough.
So then you fast forward like 20 years later, it shows up in the US and then it took off like wildfire. It even became a very popular quiz show in 1949. Unfortunately, so none of you can cheat, most of the episodes were lost when the studios wiped the tape to use it again for something else, which is outrageous, right? Like so many beautiful live recordings have just been lost this way.
So many 20 questions. Yeah.
Was this the era of the great quiz show scandals where they were all like fixed? Or was that a little earlier?
It's a little earlier. I think
yeah.
49.
But that one was like 49 to mid 50s, essentially. Yeah. So probably
that's right
in there.
Yeah. I wonder if AJ Jacobs is a fan of this game.
I'm sure he is.
I imagine.
He probably has a book about it.
Yeah. He probably does. A very good book. Way better than anything you would write.
Dave, do we have like rules, regulations for this, or is this just the Wild West?
I am glad you asked that. Before we can rumble, let's set some ground rules. All right. So the teams are pretty clear, right? This is head-to-head, Ridiculous Crime versus the OGs, the GOATs, Ridiculous History. Wow. And score will be kept just between those two entities. So Ridiculous Crime versus Ridiculous History. Each of us will take a turn doing what we call being the flexor. And since you can't see in the audience, I'll represent to you that each one of us are doing our best bodybuilding super pose right now to signify flex. That person takes a historical flex in mind, a person that did something and then what they did. All three members of the other show's team can question them until either they guess correctly or their 20 questions run out. So they can ask up to 20 questions. The questions can be yes or no questions, and acceptable answers are yes, no, I don't know, maybe, or you're so far off that you should really ask a different kind of question.
Or kind of. I like kind of.
Very generous. I like that. Yeah.
Kind of. Yeah. Okay.
So if the team correctly guesses the historical figure who did the flex, we will award them 1 point. If the team is also able to guess what the flex itself is, then it's at the discretion of the flexor. They can award any amount of points additionally or no points.
I like that.
And at the end of questioning, the flexor will reveal their historical figure and the flex and tell us a little bit about it. So that's how it's going to go. Any questions?
Is there a flexee or just a flexor?
I think that the questioners are the flexees.
Yes. The questioners would be flexees.
Yeah.
Just getting the term straight. Yeah, I think I'm good.
Is there a time limit for the 20 questions?
Well, I mean, we don't want to be here.
Yeah. My next birthday.
Next. Okay. Zara, when is your next birthday?
10 minutes.
We got time, August, but you know.
Hey, same.
Yeah, same. Shout out.
So, okay, August. Good. Summer babies.
Yeah. Okay. So then we can just feel it out. We can vibe together on that.
Take the journey with me. Yeah.
Yeah.
I want you to live your truth.
Yeah. You guys will be up first. Dave, you want to go be the first flexor?
Yeah, that's right. So the way this will go is it'll be a round robin. Everybody will get a chance to flex. And when one person's flexing, the three members of the other team will all get to ask questions. So starting with me, we're going to start the invisible clock that doesn't exist. Go ahead and guess the historical flex I have in mind.
Question one, is this person alive now?
No.
Okay.
Was this person elected to some political office?
No.
Oh, man.
Was this person born in America? United States of America?
Yes. So that's three. So
that puts us three questions or later.
Three questions. Yeah. Keeping count.
Yeah.
All
got
of us
it.
Playing along at home as well. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you, Zared. Okay. Did this person have siblings?
Good question. I am going to need to check my notes on that.
Well, I would argue that if you don't know, they probably weren't noteworthy.
Yeah.
Good point. No, they do not.
Was this person known for killing someone?
Murder.
Nice shorthand. I like it.
No.
Why did you have to pause? You'd think that would be a definitive yes or no.
All right. Max has got one. Max has got one.
Oh, I don't have one.
Oh, you're just rolling.
I'm counting the numbers.
Oh, I got the question. You can think. Oh, okay, we want your question. I got the number count, Maximum.
Just,
don't worry.
Just chillax, bro.
Are we allowed to discuss amongst ourselves?
Yes, of course.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Of course, yes. Please.
Open world game conversation.
That doesn't count as question six, though.
No.
That's
no,
procedure.
You've yet to ask question
that's six. That's five more questions there.
I like that. Like, very specific.
Genie rules, y'all.
Okay. Yeah.
Can I wish for another wish?
I know legal evil alignment. All right.
What do you got, Ben?
Well, I'm thinking, okay, so... is this person known for a single historic act?
No.
All right. No dice. All right. That was so
cool. Was this person in films?
Yes.
Was this person born in the 1900s?
The 1900s, yes.
Okay.
I'll even give you the date, 1915.
Okay.
Okay.
Is it Charlie Chaplin?
No.
Is that a question?
Okay. You can pull that back.
Sorry.
No. They're letting us reel it back.
Because I was thinking the same thing. Okay. So, is this person well known today?
Yes.
Okay. So we're calling that your ninth question. If Knowles was reeled back. Okay.
It was real back. Thank you. Very gracious. Mm-hmm. Is this person mainly known for being a star of film?
It's a tough call. I'm going to say no.
Oh, shoot.
Okay. Is this...
keeping it clean, y'all.
Does this person identify male?
Yes. Did, since they are deceased.
Did, since they were dead. Okay.
Did okay, this person... Sorry. Max, you got to give us one.
Yeah, internal discussion. Is it Howard Hughes? I don't know.
So, let's see. It's not... Well, so it's not film.
They
not
were in film, though. You said they were in films.
Mm-hmm. And put us somewhere like this. I looked up Humphrey Bogart. That was 1800s.
No, but he said it was. They're not known.
No, you can't look stuff up.
You're looking stuff up. Where was that note? That was no.
That's kind of, you know, it's like
you're
trivia,
in a hermetic
dude.
Box. Oh,
phones face down.
We are a show built around research. I researched.
I liked your honesty, though.
It was good.
Yeah.
You
can phone a friend.
Run it through ChatGPT.
Dave said that this person is not known exclusively for being a film star, so it wouldn't be a Bogart type figure. Howard Hughes type figure is interesting, but he wasn't in films. He just directed.
Yeah, he just made them.
Okay, I got one.
Which, by the way, I didn't know at all until I watched The Aviator for the first time recently, which is a very good film.
Oh, yeah, he was an innovator of films. Like, he
really,
was really
did all kinds of crazy stuff, and he was
meticulously
clean.
Oh, yeah, that's the way of putting it.
For a while.
like tissue boxes.
Right, and long
fan of jars.
Okay, was this male historical figure also active in the world of music?
Yes.
That was question 12.
Okay, question 12. Thank you. All right. So, So I'm thinking then, was this person someone with ties to organized crime?
Question 13.
Reputedly.
Question 13.
Ooh,
reputedly. Okay,
we're getting somewhere. Frank Sinatra.
Okay, we got 7 questions left, you guys. Max asked.
Is this person Frank Sinatra?
Yes.
What?
In 14 questions. Wow. Nice, Maximum.
This game is fun, y'all. Yeah. Wow.
We haven't guessed the flex.
Yeah, so for an unnamed amount of additional points, can you guess the flex that I have in mind right now?
Ooh, that's
tough. His whole life was kind of a flex. That guy was kind of the most all the time.
Super problematic flexes, too.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see.
I don't know if I know of one that I would have associated with the idea of what we're talking about.
Award-winning musician, street name Old Blue Eyes.
Is it something to do with like a luxury type situation?
We're no longer in 20 questions. Oh, we can't. So, well,
how can we possibly guess?
We just have to know everything about Frank.
Exactly.
I mean, I guess you don't want 10,000 points.
Take a guess. It's sort of like,
did he have a freakishly large penis that he needed additional space in his pants sewn in?
You're thinking like of Lyndon B. Johnson.
Exactly. The LBJ.
Guys, what better guess do y'all have?
Yeah.
Was he involved in some sort of government operation?
I don't know, but that is not the flex.
That wouldn't be a flex,
give us the
though.
Flex.
What's the flex?
Yeah, we just want to hear it. We don't know.
Yeah, what's the flex?
The flex is Francis Albert Sinatra did his own stunts in Manchurian Candidate, and as a result, either broke his hand or his wrist, and then he couldn't play Dirty Harry, Harry Callahan in the Dirty Harry movies.
What?
Oh.
I didn't know he was in the Manchurian Candidate. I never think of Sinatra as being an actor at all, really.
Oh,
what was he
in? Ocean's 11?
What?
Yeah. Also, he was in a bunch of movies. He won Academy Awards for acting. Like,
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Isn't it funny how sometimes you can just really have like a blind spot
for
like certain things? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, we research and talk about stuff like this all the time, and I just zero awareness that Sinatra was in movies.
I also propose a portmanteau if we're interested. This is a flex that
always
had consequences for old Blue Eyes. So what if we call that a flexiquence?
Oh, I like it. I like it. Nice.
It's very flexiquent. Yeah, a little bit more color. So if you've seen the movie, he smashes his hand onto a table. And that was really him smashing his hand onto a table. Nancy Sinatra says he broke his finger. Other sources say he broke his wrist, but they all agree that it never healed right. And so he was actually attached to the first Dirty Harry movie for 6 months. And he gets in and they show him the .357 Magnum and he picks it up.
I was about to say, that's a big gun, man. Yeah.
And he says, and Zarin will do a better old Blue Eyes than me, but he's like, I'm afraid it's a little too big for my hands.
A ringy ding ding.
No, that was good. That was perfect.
I did find a quote from Eastwood, too, confirming this, because I wanted to make sure this wasn't a bunch of BS. Eastwood said, I was in post-production on Play Misty for me, and they called up and asked, are you still interested in Dirty Harry? Eastwood recalled, I said, what happened to Frank Sinatra? And they said, Frank Sinatra's got some problem with his hand and he can't hold a gun. That sounded like a pretty lame excuse, but it didn't matter to me. I said, I'll do it. But since they had initially talked to me, there had been all these rewrites. I said, I'm only interested in the original script.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, look at Tef guy.
Hollywood.
He has the clout. That's a flex in and of itself, right?
Bring me a heavier gun.
Can it be bigger?
I actually saw Dirty Harry for the first time recently, and again, blind spot. Had no idea how tied to the Zodiac killer.
It's sort of featured
in Zodiac, in the Fincher movie. They go to like the premiere, and then some of the detectives are like, guys, it's over. They already made the movie about it.
Well, and there was some talk in the local, like, in the scene that maybe this would draw him out for more communications because there had been a gap.
Oh, you guys are in Zodiac country.
Yeah, I am.
And when Sinatra couldn't do it, they're really scrambling. And so, yeah, a couple other actors turned it down because it was like all too weird and conservative for them. Like Steve McQueen was also approached for it. And he was like, I already did a detective movie and this doesn't fit with my feels.
Dang, can you imagine a Steve McQueen Dirty Harry movie? Like,
can you imagine a Frank Sinatra?
Very different.
That's a weird one.
Part of me is now always going to be a little bit imagining the Steve McQueen Dirty Harry.
Oh, yeah, totally. You
know, I'm just carrying that now.
I need to see Bullet. Have you guys seen Bullet?
We saw it a couple years ago on the big screen.
Yes. It's one of my favorite movies of all time.
Yeah, it was amazing. The chase scene on a big screen.
The sound of the engines.
If you ever see it playing like at an art house theater near you, go watch it. Yeah.
I really like Drive. So I think Drive was highly inspired by Bullet.
Oh, yes.
Oh, 100%. Oh, yes.
Yeah. Pretty much every car chase since 1969 has been inspired by Bullet.
Yep. Too true. We did not get our wild card point for people playing along at home. We had, check me or Zarin, it took us 14 of our 20 questions.
Correct.
To nail old Blue Eyes, aka Frank A. Sinatra, for a grand total of, if we could get a drum roll, 1 point.
I do want to point out that I, you know, it was suggested that maybe a half a point if you guess the
just
flex.
Keep it even, I think.
And yeah. then I was like, I no rules.
Yeah, no rules.
So
no
it's
rules.
Just whatever just you feel. Right. Mm-hmm. So
should that you was... be rewarded for guessing in fewer questions? That just feels, you know.
Well, we could start where everyone starts with negative 20.
It's more of an emotional badge of pride. It's like you can just right. flex on. It's like, you know, we got ours in 14, took you guys 19.
Well, maybe
there.
The team maybe with the lowest, the team with the lowest number score gets an extra point at the end for that having that. Low score.
I'm into
low
that.
Questions.
Yeah.
It's up to your discretion. You could give 500 points. Yeah.
We can also just NPR PRI it and just, you know, sort of like, wait, don't tell me. Just kind of have a good time.
Exactly.
You know,
have somebody arbitrary. Exactly.
Zarin, will you leave an outgoing message on my answering machine?
100%. As Tom Baudet.
Yeah. I just got a text. It's from sponsors. They want us to take a break.
Oh yes. Crap.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Like as people or as a show?
Just both.
Yeah, they said, hang it up. This isn't working. Take
so
go ahead.
Give it a
take
rest.
Five. Take a tight
take
five.
Take it down a notch, guys. Yeah.
So let's do that. And when we get back, we will have Ben as the next flexer.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Noel, do you remember your favorite car?
Well, yeah, it was an Eddie Bauer edition Ford Explorer.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
I just remember it was my dad's. I was a hand-me-down car kind of kid. Dad would buy a new car. I'd get that car. And I just remember feeling so awesome being up above everybody. Like I was in Mad Max or something, you know?
I had a lot of land yachts that I loved. I had Pontiac Bonnevilles.
Right.
Oh, I never had an El Camino. My dad had one. And that was a real interesting use of our collective time, keeping that thing running. But I think these cars all kind of speak to us because they were such a fundamental part of our lives. Do you remember when I had that Monte Carlo?
That's what I meant. I said El Camino and I meant Monte Carlo.
I miss it. So the Monte Carlo was tough. I had a series of Monte Carlos, and the last one, God bless it, I had to learn a lot about car maintenance just to keep that guy running.
Totally.
But it still was like a perfect fit. It's almost like finding your true love. You know, like when you recently got a car a few years back now.
Oh, man. And funny you should say that. That particular perfect fit was the Honda Fit, which I love dearly. But, Ben, it's getting a little long in the tooth. And while it's been incredibly reliable up to now, it's getting to that age where I might have to start looking for some parts here and there to keep it running.
Mm-hmm. And that's where eBay Motors comes in. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly.
Brake kits, LED headlights, roof racks, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it.
And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back.
Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash.
So keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com.
Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey, And we have returned, folks. As always, thank you for joining us. This is round two, wherein the luminaries of Ridiculous Crime will have 20 questions to guess an historical flexer, and perhaps indeed their flex. Now, I'm going to be honest, this is a weird one because you guys are experts, so I couldn't make it like too easy. I'll start off by saying it is not Carrot Top.
Oh, okay. That was my first guess.
Scratching out furiously. Yeah.
Yeah. let's see. For first question, Elizabeth, you like to
go? No, you're always good with the first ones.
All right. For the first question, was this person an American?
Yes. Lived in America.
Lived in America. Gentle phrasing there. Okay.
I'm very NPR with these.
Yeah, that's good.
Was this person alive to see baseball?
Yes.
Like professional baseball? Yes. Or yeah. Just like stickball in the alley?
Some form of baseball.
Okay. Yes,
fair enough.
What about plastic?
Give me just a second on that one. Let me go back through my notes. That's a good question. I got to learn more about plastic. I'm going to say no, not
call
not
it the graduate.
Plastic the way we know it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So four, number two.
Well, if we're talking about
plastics, is basically World War II. So it means this person existed between the 19th century and up to 1930s.
Well, Bakelite was early. That's 1900s. Not
really. Yeah, no, that's the beginning of plastic.
Right.
That's why it's called Bakelite.
So
right?
we're
asking about wealth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead, Dave.
You got a shot, Dave.
I don't want to throw away my shot. Was this person part of the elite wealth class?
No.
Okay. Was this person born in Europe?
Yes.
Born in Europe, mm-hmm. American citizen. Ballpark range of, no pun intended.
Da-da, da-da.
What years would you say?
We don't have a front end. We have a back end.
Okay.
Was this person alive before the camera? It was invented in 1839.
Yes.
Okay.
Was this person?
They lived a long time if they made it to plastic.
Right?
They didn't, though.
Oh, so plastic.
Oh, so like, I see. Yeah, they didn't.
Not plastic as we know.
They're on the other side.
Right. Oh, okay.
Was this person famous for their knowledge?
Could you be more specific?
Was this person a scientist?
No.
No.
Was this person a military leader?
Also no.
Was this person a woman?
Yes.
Mm.
So this will be question 10.
Yes, correct. We have 9 so far, and
I've got it narrowed down to 2 people, so this should be easy.
Nice.
Was this person controversial in her day?
Yes.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Zaren, do you have a question?
Was this woman associated with a political movement?
Not really. No. Mm. No. Yeah. Noel Max, would you guys be comfortable saying no on that one? Just to check me here.
Yeah, I would be comfortable with saying no on that one.
I forgot who you have, so I'll take it.
Great.
But whatever it is, sure. This is a peculiar one.
Interesting. We've got 9 guesses left.
Okay, so what with our parameters, we're talking about a woman born in Europe.
Becomes an American, was alive in the 19th century.
Controversial, but not political.
Yes.
Was this person an entertainer?
No. No. I'm going to throw this is, to be clear, this is a bit of a tough one. So one hint I would give you is this is an excellent subject for an episode of something like Ridiculous Crime.
Slightly deep cut figure.
Deep cut figure, criminal pop, possibly, or overlapping with crime.
I am having a... All right. How many questions have we had so far?
When... we've done 12 questions.
This would be
is there a 13th question? Yeah.
What about asking about whether they were convicted of federal charges?
There you go.
Or any charges, federal or state.
We'll go with that.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. Convicted and I'll help you out here because this is a tough one. Convicted and then ultimately fled the U.S.
I'm having a hard time on this one. This is very good.
Was this person married to anybody famous or that we would know by name?
No. Okay. No. She's sort of the protagonist, I think, of her story.
Okay. Not an entertainer.
Did this person do any violence in their lifetime? Any like notable violence?
I would say ordered it.
Yes. Yes, but not directly, perhaps, right?
That should be a decent hint.
Yeah.
What kind of figures order violence?
So a mob boss, crime figure, pirate queen, like, you know.
Well, I have a guess. And one of the questions knocked my guess out, but I'm still, it lines up.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And do you know if it's someone that we've talked about on Ridiculous Crime?
Is that a question?
I looked, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
So now we got four.
We can count that. We can count that as a procedural one.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, that's a procedural. Then we have five questions left.
And also, by the way, already got a half point with Mob Boss because this is a tough one.
Oh.
Mob bosses.
So mob. Okay.
Since I can just give away.
You know.
you can do whatever you want.
Dave gave you the birth year of Frank Sinatra. Mm-hmm. So that was helpful.
Yeah. Let's see. Mob boss women ordered hits and had to leave America.
So are we guessing Italian?
Italian, Russian, Haitian, Cuban.
Yeah.
Colombian.
No, well, we said they were born in Europe.
Born in Europe, so, right. Yeah, oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. So.
But that was just a really cool ASMR moment.
I've got the tingles.
Okay, so I'm thinking, okay, possibly Italian?
Yeah.
I mean, no offense, not to paint with a broad brush.
Of course, but then also we have to keep in mind that there were a lot of British and French criminals who would have
qualified
it as...
Mob.
Yeah, I get it.
Up. Oh, yeah, it could
I
be
would
Irish.
Say mob might be a little broad.
Yeah, it could be gangster, you know, like Irish gangster moles.
Or British
hard
man.
Mob might be...
Hard woman.
Maybe like gang boss.
Yeah.
Gang boss.
Let's think. Famous or semi-famous gang bosses of the 19th century...
Who were born in Europe? Born in Europe.
America.
He went back. Golly.
Did this woman have sons?
Oh, I believe there was some family involved.
Like her sons, part of her legend. Like the sons were important to who she was.
The sons are not part of.
Okay,
the
not Ma
Barker. I see where you're going though.
That's no.
Not Ma Barker. So okay. I got four left.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oy. She orders a crime.
Orders crimes done.
And then has to flee back to Europe. And we're talking about turn of the century.
Yeah, she could be Russian. It could be like a white Russian. Who knows? I mean, he said it was difficult, so.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking British is I'm leaning more British than anything.
Yeah.
Not to be a wet blanket, but I would argue that if you can't think of the person now, you might not know the name off the top of your head.
Might as well blow our questions, though.
I thought it would be like...
Blow away. Dave, you got any one? We want to pare it down a little bit? We got four questions.
Let's see.
I would say, you know...
I don't have good guesses, so it's I'm just like...
Yeah, it looks like parameters. Like, All right. The person that she allegedly ordered stuff done to, were they also famous? Would we know them?
They would often be some of the better off people in New York.
Can I take a swing at this?
Sure. We got three guys left.
Is it Emma Goldman?
Oh, no, it is not.
I'm going to be Emma Goldman. She didn't do
the only thing that doesn't fit
is the ordering violence.
No, that was her whole thing. She ordered violence. Yeah. The only thing that doesn't fit is gang. And I thought, well, if you talk about like,
I mean, she didn't, she instructed and urged violence, but I don't think she ordered.
Yeah, she did.
Not directly to them. She didn't tell like, hey, Steve, come over here, hit that person. It's more like go to their door, knock on their door and do violence to them.
When she had them go after the mill people, she specifically had them.
Okay, all right, I'll give you that.
Thank you.
It's the game within a game. Yeah.
You know what I'd like to do if the group is okay with it? I would like to say Emma Goldman is such an astute, wonderful answer. It is not, in fact, this person, but this person is, again, a very difficult, a bit of a deep cut. I'm going to go ahead and give the full point just because this one was so tough and your guesses are
we're not taking
any points. We got two guesses left.
I'm no charity.
All right. We got two guesses
left.
All right, two guesses. Close to Emma Goldman.
Okay. Emma Goldman, but mob but gang.
Gang.
I think also, because Emma Goldman, I would say, was associated with political movements. That's why I asked that question.
Think
who'd be like union movements that aren't political or like labor
Zarin, everything's political.
Oh, I know.
But okay, we're talking about
40 elephants, right? You know,
40 elephants were totally a gang.
But they're not political.
And they weren't never in the U.S.
Exactly.
They were never in
the U.S. What I'm saying is that, but that type of mob boss would be somebody who would qualify. So, we got two guesses. Came to America, probably in New York. They were in New York trying to do violence. So who are the New York? We got like Queenie. We've got.
Well, if you're talking about gangs,
before the 20s.
And gangs in those time were pretty much relegated to cultural groups.
Yeah. Yes.
Nationalities.
Exactly. Nationalities.
So we're talking
about
Irish.
Like a Fagin type figure.
Yeah.
You know, background in like textiles, ran the shop from like kind of like a, you know, ran the business, the illegal business from like.
All right. I got one guess.
Type situation. Okay.
Was it Sadie the goat, feral? Sadie Farrell? Sadie the goat feral?
I don't know who that is.
No, but I'm, loving it. Question 19.
Yeah.
I don't know, guys.
All right, we got one last guess. Who wants to take it? Dave, you feeling hot? Elizabeth?
I got Bubkiss.
Yeah, I don't have anything for this one.
Was her first name Rose?
No, but I like that shot from half court.
That was good. That was totally good. The old Hail Mary.
All right, that's us. We concede this one. Okay. You got
Uncle.
Us.
It is a pretty good old lady name, though.
A half point because this was so tough and because purely... Fellow ridiculous listeners at home, a half point purely because of the absolute top-notch caliber of questions here. The person we were looking for was someone named Marm Mandelbaum, Frederica Marm Mandelbaum.
Wow.
I know I'm doing trivia voice there, sorry. Mandelbaum, it's very interesting that history has largely forgotten this quite successful criminal. She ran one of New York's biggest fencing operations from 1862 to 1864. She was also, she had other gangs that she was fighting with, but she was helping coordinate things like the Ocean National Bank robbery. She was also, she was born in Germany. We don't know too much about her early life because, surprise, surprise, she was a little bit sketchy. She made it to the U.S. with her family or with her husband, Wolf Mandelbaum.
Wolf. Yes.
Wolf is sort of a milquetoast in this story, but she gets there. She gets to the U.S. in 1850 and she has a dry goods store. So she has a legitimate operation. And as a small business owner, she has the opportunity to turn stuff around. Part of the reason my pal Noel is saying she's a Fagin-esque character is because she started a school. She institutionalized teaching kids how to be ne'er-do-wells and how to pickpocket.
Got to pick a pocket or two.
Interesting. Interesting.
So no murder involved with her. She did end up being arrested because she just got out of hand. She just blew up in the Big Apple so much that eventually, you know, the New York district attorney was like, hey, we got to hire the Pinkertons.
Ah, the Pinkertons.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So she gets released on bail after she's arrested with, to your point, Aaron, her sons, her son, Julius, and then another guy's working for her named Herman. Once she gets released on bail, she does exactly what everybody thought she would do. She hightails it out of the United States. She skedaddles with $1 million in 1884 and settles in Hamilton, Ontario. Shout out to your reference about throwing away the shot, Dave, where she remains until she passes away 10 years later. So I think as a fan of Ridiculous Crime, I thought this would be like a great episode.
Yeah, that'd be an excellent episode. Definitely, definitely.
Ben, would the flex be the pickpocket school, or what would you? I mean, there's so many.
Oh, yes, thank you. The flex is the pickpocket school.
I love that she started basically an elementary school to teach thieving and street crime. I mean,
yeah,
she's like Mother Marshmallow, but instead she just like, come under my dress and I'll teach you crime and take care of you children. Let's go.
Oh, man, alive.
She was often referred to as Mother Mandelbaum or Marm.
Yeah. Oh, word.
Yeah.
And you guys haven't ever mentioned them on one of your shows. I mentioned her on one of your shows, right?
We had a show called another show we do called Stuff They Don't Want You to Know. We explored her life. And we sort of put it under the umbrella of conspiracy.
Got
she
it.
Did conspire Got to start like,
oh yeah,
Crime Elementary. You know,
wow, wowie, wow, you know, wow, that's amazing.
Woman after
you know what
heart.
I think this party could use?
What's that, Dave?
Some really good ads, like
I've been like itching.
You got some
for
heated
them.
Up?
Oh yeah, got some in the oven.
Excellent.
Flex those ads.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Noel, do you remember your favorite car?
Well, yeah, it was an Eddie Bauer edition Ford Explorer.
Oh, that's
and
cool,
I just remember, it was my dad's. I was a hand-me-down car kind of kid. Dad would buy a new car, I'd get that car. And I just remember feeling so awesome being up above everybody, like I was in Mad Max or something, you know?
I had a lot of land yachts that I loved. I had Pontiac Bonnevilles.
Right.
Oh, I never had an El Camino. My dad had one, and that was a real interesting use of our collective time, keeping that thing running. But I think these cars all kind of speak to us because they were such a fundamental part of our lives. Do you remember when I had that Monte Carlo?
That's what I meant. I said El Camino, and I meant Monte Carlo.
I miss it so. The Monte Carlo was tough. I had a series of Monte Carlos, and the last one, God bless it, I had to learn a lot about car maintenance just to keep that guy running.
Totally.
But it still was like a perfect fit. It's almost like finding your true love. You know, like when you recently got a car a few years back now.
Oh, man. And funny you should say that. That particular perfect fit was the Honda Fit, which I love dearly. But, Ben, it's getting a little long in the tooth. And while it's been incredibly reliable up to now, it's getting to that age where I might have to start looking for some parts here and there to keep it running.
Mm-hmm. And that's where eBay Motors comes in. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly.
Brake kits, LED headlights, roof racks, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it.
And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back.
Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash.
So keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com.
Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
All right, guys, we're back. Hey. 20 questions.
Yeah.
So what's our score now is?
I've got it as 2-1/2.
2-1/2. Okay.
Oh, I thought I had it as 1-1/2.
No,
one.
No, yeah. You got a point because you rocked us. You beat us.
Yeah.
And you guessed.
That's only 1 point.
Yeah, and they got Frank Sinatra, so that's 2 points.
Yeah.
No, Frank Sinatra is one. Yeah. Right. If they guessed his flex, that would have been another.
Yeah. But right. Then we did not get their answer right, so they get 1 point for that.
Yeah.
Oh, I have it as like you only get points when you're guessing.
They get points for, you know, traditionally in 20 questions, if you stump the person, you get a point. So for stumping us, they should get a point, yeah. I would say. So it would be 2-1/2 according to my calculations.
And then we got the pity 0.5.
Yeah, they gave us the pity. Yeah,
it was not a pity 0.5.
We're trying to find a way to give questions. It back, but we appreciate the thought.
I also like how we're all out nicing each other.
We are.
I also just want to point out beautiful. That Ben tried to give you all a full point, and y'all said, no, we're not taking any stinking point, and then you settled for half
yeah,
a point.
Exactly.
I just want that on the record right here.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to be profligate very with true. Points, sure, absolutely. Like, what am I made of points?
Well, we're all being nice now, but we may encounter quite a plot twist and turn depending on how Max Knoll and I do in the next round.
Oh yeah, it's gonna get ugly. Yeah.
Come on, Elizabeth, we need to get real.
All right, so I've got this in my head, mm-hmm. and I okay. am ready for questions.
All right,
okay, I'm counting questions here. Let's go with this. Does this individual identify as male?
Yes.
Is it George Washington? I'm kidding. That doesn't count. It was just a callback to yes. President's Day. What?
I'm
no,
kidding.
No, there's no way. Okay. Was this person a elected official?
No.
Okay.
Was this person born in the 1900s?
Yes. No.
All right.
Sorry. I was thinking 19th century. Yeah. No.
Okay. So you're born in the 1800s.
Okay, yeah. We know that now.
All right. Okay. Is this person known for scientific breakthroughs?
No.
Is this person a criminal?
Mind reader.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to put yes. But with an audible.
Are you keeping a spreadsheet, Ben?
That would be cool. Keeping notes.
I do want to just have one caveat.
Please qualify.
Okay.
That all of your questions have made one assumption.
Mm.
That is incorrect. But go ahead.
One assumption that is incorrect.
Okay. Oh, this is a person?
Yeah. I think that would be because looking back through the rules.
Is that a question, Max?
That's amongst us.
What could the assumption be?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm just telling you as a.
Right.
I think the assumption is that can they be not a person?
They could be a historical figure. Could be,
they specifically put creature into the rules. Mm-hmm.
And there's another assumption. Mm. I'll just leave it at that.
Mm. Okay. Look at all these assumptions.
Think of your mind games. You came in with some implicit biases.
Oh.
Oh my gosh, my mind is running wild. Is this figure a famous animal spy?
No.
Damn it!
I like your enthusiasm.
That was a good one, though. Okay.
I should have just asked if it was an animal.
Is this figure a human being? We'll burn that one.
No.
Just to get it clear.
Ah. Okay,
great. There we go.
All right. So I have you guys at 7 questions asked. 13 to go.
Yes.
Okay.
This will be our 8th question.
So does that mean, okay, a criminal, though, a non-human criminal.
Isn't there like, don't we have stories in our past about like goats and stuff being arrested? As, like, we had a animal personhood episode, which unfortunately I was also on vacation with. So no help on that episode.
That's
coincidentally.
I was coincidentally just gone on that one, but I remember we had that episode about all the animals that committed crimes.
Was this individual creature, was this creature a mammal?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, probably.
Okay. Is this that elephant that got electrocuted?
I was thinking that.
Oh, Jumbo? No.
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 Not
Jumbo. You mean like by Edison? Like when he went to
Edison?
Yeah. When he was trying to hype up the, what a terrible guy that dude was.
How can an animal be a criminal?
There's lots of ways, no?
Yeah.
An accomplice, perhaps?
That's one way.
Trained, like a...
These do not count as...
No.
This is internal convo.
Yeah.
This is internal discussion. Mm-hmm.
Stay out of their internal
What am I doing on their
there?
Side of the table?
It's okay. You're welcome. All are welcome. Just feed us some good intel while you're in here. Jeez
Louise,
guys.
Like a Family Feud where they walk across the set and just stand there. I'm on the Jenkins family now.
There's another implicit assumption that we haven't tackled. There's a second one we didn't get, you guys, which is... Let's see, a creature. So we got that
aquatic.
One.
Aquatic.
That they actually
No, we
existed.
Said it's a mammal. Oh, it could be an aquatic mammal.
It was on Earth. I'll give you that hint.
Thanks, Dave.
Is this a water-dwelling creature?
Oh, is that your question?
Yeah.
Okay.
It is not a water-dwelling creature.
Not a water-dweller.
Not a water-dweller.
Okay. So that's question 10.
Land mammal. So what do we got here? What kind of land mammals are capable of doing crime?
So we have...
Llamas, alpacas,
I like how fast Max got the list.
Name them all.
Sheep.
Beavers.
Sure, yeah.
We could ask moles. We could ask. So this is just amongst us. If it's a new world or an old world monkey,
ooh, the term new world's kind of problematic.
Well, it has to be yes or no.
Oh,
yeah.
So I can't pick.
Yeah, we won't ask that.
Yeah.
I'm picturing the murderous ape from that Edgar Allan Poe story.
Murders in the Rue Morgue.
Spoiler alert: it was an ape.
I don't, for some reason, I've had a dog in my head this entire time, but
yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, let's burn a couple getting closer to the type of animal.
Yeah, there you go.
Is it a primate?
No.
No.
All right, helpful. Okay.
Is it it's not a pupperino?
Elephant.
Did you say pupperino? Is that a question?
Pupperino, a dog. Yeah.
Dog.
Yes.
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 It is. Okay.
Yes. How many questions?
We're at 12.
This will be our 13th question.
Yeah, this will be the 13th coming up.
Wasn't there the dog that was shot into space?
Yes,
Laika. That's way different. Yeah. Laika's way different.
Well, this is 1800s.
Oh. Yeah.
And technically, that's not a crime. Considered.
Crime was done to
She was a victim. Laika was a victim.
That was just trespassing in space.
So it's a dog that did some sort of crime, but we also have an assumption that we are forgetting about that I can't remember earlier.
An additional assumption that we have not addressed.
Yeah, I got him down on Laika. Okay. So they are now on their 14th.
That's all right. Fine. Even though we established it was the 1800s,
but there's nothing just screaming to mind right now. Is it?
Do you want a hint?
I think we should give.
Well,
a hint.
You have mentioned my flexor on your show. The words have passed your lips.
So you guys have said this out loud.
Mm-hmm.
Is this? Wait, internal conversation, Maxnell. Sure. Did we already ask about America?
I don't know. I think we did. I don't know. I'm totally down to pull up our comprehensive meta sheet right here and cheat.
Cheating.
No, we're not doing that. We've already established that.
Okay, Noel, I won't tell you that I'm doing it.
No, you've already given the game away, Max. Don't be like that.
it's not fun.
Max, I'm competitive too. I get it.
It's so much more fun when you cheat.
Yeah, we did not establish that it was American or European.
With
we established that, Ben?
I feel like we did.
But we should remember. If we don't remember, then we're useless.
We did not. The reason we feel like we established America is because we had that quick question on George Washington. We're American.
Yes, good point.
I'm picturing a European dog for some reason.
Is it a vegetable dog?
What? Vegetable dog? Like a dog made of vegetables?
Like a traumatic brain injury?
Like soy?
No, like the it's a terrible practice where they had to where they made dogs live turning spits to cook meat.
No,
no, it's not a vegetable dog.
No,
I wish I didn't.
And I'm gonna charge you two questions for that.
Oh, I think that's
right. I have you at 14 questions. You've got 6 left to go.
Do you just walk around with that in your head, Ben?
For your brain.
All right. So, what's your 15th guess?
I am hitting a wall.
We had that episode, guys, that 2-part episode we did about like hero animals.
But this is a criminal.
Who knows?
A war criminal, perhaps.
Why can't a criminal and a hero be the same person?
75% of our episodes are hero.
Robin Hood is a criminal who is a hero.
That's a good point.
What I'm saying.
Yeah. Same with Carrot Top. Yeah.
Unfortunately, for that episode, all I can remember is the hero cats. So I'm no help here.
Oh, Max, he's been really good so far.
But I didn't answer that question. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Ben, you got anything? Hand up.
Was this unfortunate doggo arrested by political authorities?
Yes. Although political, what do you mean, define political authority? Like elected officials or like...
I would say, just go with authorities. The they were arrested by the authorities.
Yes.
In the traditional sense of what we would assume that means.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Because I was thinking, Max, I was thinking, was it ecclesiastical authorities or something like that?
No, this is not an excommunicated dog. No.
Was this like a Joan of Arc type dog?
I guess I'm just gonna say
heretic dog. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I'm just gonna say it. I'm pretty certain it's one of the animals we talked about in that 2-part episode.
I think Max is probably right.
No, do you want to ask that as a question?
This is internal. Oh. This is internal. Yeah, I'm completely.
What am I doing on this
Sarah
round table
to
again?
Stop. He needs to just stop.
Sarah, get comfortable, man. We got a chair for you.
Take your feet up.
This is
Stay
my turn.
Sorry. What am I doing here?
So,
Dave, grab me back.
Unfortunately, I can't remember all the animals we talked about. I remember our whole second part was just about that cat that lived on the boat. I don't know.
Boat cat does not help us right now.
Well, no, I'm talking about the whole episode.
I'm going to give you another hint.
Yes, please.
Okay.
What? That's not the episode. Okay. I'm going to save you some time.
That is actually a very wonderful hint. Thank you
very much. You're very welcome.
Yeah. Okay.
Happy holidays.
I got nothing, guys. I'm not going to burn any more questions.
All right. How many more questions do we have?
5 questions left.
We have 5 questions.
I'm burning one right now.
Burn, go. Go.
Was I the producer of Ridiculous History when we talked about this animal?
Oh, I
because it would be April 2021 is when I became the
21?
Producer. 21? 21, yes.
Yeah, Max, you were the producer.
Okay, 4 questions left.
Okay.
So that gets us down to 300 episodes.
Wow. How the time barks. All right.
I don't know, guys. I don't want to burn any more questions. I feel like I've
just think
hit
of
a wall.
Dogs you guys know, dogs you like, dogs that impress you, dogs
I like,
your fear. Just
dude, though,
dogs.
That's a problem.
Why don't
I like
you just
every
stop,
dog.
Saren?
Sorry. Am I over here not helping again?
I like every dog. I bet you.
They moved the table this time.
Is it. No, because Noel, you already asked about spy or tradecraft, right?
I did, yeah.
Okay. Never mind. I'm cursing now. I don't know if
I'm pounding my fists on my desk very quietly.
Press his fist against the post.
Now Clint Eastwood's going to get another part.
Yeah. I don't know. Do you want to call it? I feel like our guesses are good, but
you're gonna forfeit.
You're forfeit.
I just don't know that we
spend
we
a man.
No. I mean, guys, let's throw some Hail Marys.
Yeah, we got 4 Hail Marys.
I don't feel too bad about being obscure, seeing as how you've said it before.
Right. Yeah, no, that's fair. That's fair. Would this dog be considered after the actions that took place some sort of like political symbol?
That is our question 17.
Cultural, not political.
Is it like a cultural symbol?
Not political.
Did this dog commit crimes against a baby.
No.
Wow. Okay.
Wow.
I want that on a shirt.
And I want to know how that could be a hero and yeah. a criminal.
But no, was the baby the criminal? No.
Stop that yeah. baby.
Okay.
I know there was a dog that did something wrong to a baby.
No in crimes the against
animal personhood episode.
No crimes against a human baby.
Oh wow, geez.
All right.
Oh.
All right, you got okay. two more. Let's hear.
Yeah, two more. Was this dog the subject of a widespread cultural panic?
No.
No.
Okay.
We got one last one. I'll give you one hint.
What are you talking about? Oh, this isn't your question.
Was this dog in the band Widespread Panic?
Yes.
Lies. Was there a film made about this dog?
No.
Well, that's a bummer.
And you think that is.
Wait, what did you just say? That's
was
a
there
what?
A film made about
No, but
about
then
this
your
dog?
Reaction.
Oh, I said that's a bummer.
Okay.
It feels like this animal clearly deserves it.
Well, I'm going to tell you the story.
Okay. Oh, here we go.
Of Bummer and Lazarus.
Are you serious?
Yes. I'm dead serious.
You said the name.
So everyone knows the iconic San Francisco skyline. You know, you got the Transamerica building. And in that area, when we go all the way back to the 1860s, there was a man, Emperor Norton. You guys had an episode about
it. Oh,
him.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And in
yeah,
that
that's
show,
right.
you mentioned his dogs, Bummer and yeah. Lazarus. Now, it was a passing yeah. mention. Bummer and Lazarus, and Emperor Norton, again, declared himself Emperor of the U.S., Protector of Mexico.
Really cool. Interesting character.
He was always seen in the company of these two dogs, Bummer and Lazarus. He wasn't their owner, though, because these were stray dogs. And they were two of hundreds in the city at the time. And so on a cold day, 1861, a terrible dog fight broke out on a street in San Francisco. It's vicious. Big dogs attacking a smaller dog. Big dog takes a bite out of the smaller one's leg. That small one just yelps out. Another dog comes running in, breaks up the fight, bites the bully dog, drags the injured dog into a doorway, and the two of them huddle there. And so the savior dog, that's Bummer. Mm. Bummer was called Bummer. It was a big black and white Newfoundland mix. Bummer would go around to all the saloons in the Barbary Coast begging for food. And people would feed him and he'd sit there and eat. And then he'd just known all around town. Mm-hmm. Well, so Bummer still goes around to the saloons, gets food, but takes it to go. He takes it out to this dog, this injured dog, and they sleep in this doorway for a few weeks while the bite heals. But everyone's like, this dog's not going to recover. But the dog does, and Lazarus was reborn. And then these two become an absolutely paired duo. They go everywhere together all the time. And this is 160 years ago.
Doggy life partners.
So what's their flex?
What is their flex?
Their flex is that they had a skill that wound up saving their lives. They were so good at ratting that they became in-demand pest control in like the filthy streets of San Francisco's Barbary
Coast, lot of rats.
So in one instance, they get called in to control the rats in a hotel. The dogs enter the building. 20 minutes later, 85 rats are dead. And because of this, everyone loves them. But there's trouble. There's trouble on the horizon. So stray dogs are totally out of control in San Francisco. There's hundreds and hundreds of them. And so animal control is like taking them in at this exponential rate. And then less than 10% of the ones they take in are ever claimed. So the board of supervisors, they pass an ordinance. Animal control, you got to go out, round up as many as possible. Any dog without a muzzle or a leash on. And if someone claims them, they have to pay $5 to get them out of the pound.
Whoa.
If no one claims them, the cops shoot them on sight.
Damn, jeez.
Rough. So immediately people in the area, they're worried about Bummer and Lazarus. You know, they lived on the streets and they liked it that way. They could never be owned. And people were right to be worried because pretty soon, poor Lazarus, he gets caught. Luckily, someone steps in, pays the $5. But this outraged the people of San Francisco. They petitioned the Board of Supervisors to exempt Bummer and Lazarus from this death order. And so they have a meeting to hear this petition. Bummer and Lazarus go to City Hall, and they're gathered in the doorway, just like they did when Lazarus was healing, waiting to hear their fate inside the chambers. And the city fathers, they listened. They declared Bummer and Lazarus city property, companions to the city itself. So their big flex is we're not going to be killed. We now are belong to the entire city.
A whole city's best
friend. Because we kill so many rats.
Best friend, city's best
friend. And then, like a week later, they totally prove their worth because the two of them stopped a runaway horse cart on busy Clay Street. They one on either side. They run along. Mm-hmm. Bummer gets out in front, slows the horse. A man jumps on, is able to pull the reins back. And there are all these other stories of their companionship and their antics. And then their eventual passing was like citywide mourning when each one finally went. But it's a solid canine flex. You kill some rats, you get exempt from the death penalty, and you belong to the city by the bay, and you become legends.
Love it. Beautiful. I also have to say, just in the interest of fairness, rats are very intelligent creatures, and they probably have their own stories. But
oh, I'm sure, but they're also filthy.
Yes, that is true. Existence requires us to exist in filth. But do we get a half point for that half-court shot Noel threw with Bummer?
Of course.
Jeez. Oh, yay.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yay.
Totally get a half a point.
Very magnanimous.
I have to jump in here so I can get a max with the facts in on this episode.
Who's that sneaking in the phone?
It's Max!
And he's full of knowledge just for you right now. Here he comes.
It's Max with the facts!
There is actually a dry gin titled Bummer and Lazarus with the dogs on it.
Wow.
And one that of the dogs even has a rat in their
mouth. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And apparently they were just terribly ugly, but everyone just loved them to death. And so Bummer and Lazarus, those are my dudes.
Who's that creeping out of your phone?
It's Max!
And he dropped the knowledge just for you. So good. There he goes.
Max gave you his facts.
Amazing. Elizabeth,
thank you.
Amazing. Like, thank you for so bringing much. This up. And also, it looks like if I'm keeping score here, if we're playing along, you also get a point for, I would suggest that Ridiculous Crime gets a point for stumping us.
Yes.
And then we get a half point.
Correct.
Noel, man, you just walked right into
pulled it right out.
Conjured it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So do you want to compare notes, Ben? I got us at 2.5. You 2.5, us 1.5. So 2.5, 1.5.
That's where I've got us as well, Zara, which I think means we have to continue this in another episode. Let's make a week of it. You know what I mean?
You know what? Let's Gauntlet Throne.
Oh, I got flexes for y'all.
No, you have no idea.
I can't wait. You guys, thank you so much for having us over here on Ridiculous Crime.
Thank you for joining
us.
Thank
you for showing up.
And thank you for having us on Ridiculous History.
Yes.
It's the secret third thing.
That's right.
That's what this is. We found a third place.
What a time. Peek backstage, folks. We were all pretty certain that this was going to be a collection of a couple self-contained things, but we had so much fun that we are going to keep this going. Isn't that right?
Yeah. Well, actually, Max and I and also Zarin have our own historical flex figures in mind. So we're going to record that episode very soon, and you'll be hearing it very soon as well. But in the meantime, huge thanks to everyone involved, to Elizabeth, to Zarin, to Dave, to super producer Max.
To Bummer, to Lazarus.
Oh, Bummer and Lazarus.
To, you guys want a weird piece of old history? Do you remember when we did that crossover with Pod Yourself a Gun?
Yes. Yeah.
We were all supposed to bring criminals. We never did my part, and I still have that. We should do a full episode about that.
Keep it in your back pocket, baby.
It was about really stupid criminals.
That's right.
Basically, mine was about these two that they decided that they were going to be, I don't know, kind of like Boondock Saints type of people. Like, they were going to go and knock off all the mobsters.
Vigilantes.
Yeah, but they were also mobsters. They were stealing trying to knock out the big people and steal their territory. It did not end well for them, as you probably guess.
And speaking of criminals, of course, thank you to Jonathan Strickland, a.k.a. The Quister, who's been running our complaint department for these many years. Big, big thanks, of course, to Alex Williams, who composed this track. Huge thanks to everybody for tuning in. If you have not had the pleasure of checking out Ridiculous Crime, get thee to thy podcast platform of choice. It's a kick-butt show.
Oh, you must. Get ye to a podcastery. We'll see you next time, folks.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and every body. The weather is getting warmer and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection, and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves, so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Tenor girl go shopping.
Yeah, baby!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.